John, thank you. Go back to Matthew 10 with me. And I've got some good news. I've got some real good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Good news. Or would you have rather heard me say, I won the lottery? That would be the worst news. That would be the worst thing that could happen to you. Now, if none of this was good news to someone in here, if you've not heard this good news, a joyful sound, I pray right now the Spirit of God will move on your heart and mind, convict you of your sin, convince you of your need of the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood, and apply this gospel to your sin-sick soul and save you, and cleanse you from all sin and unrighteousness. And I know this for a fact, this gospel I'm about to preach is that power to do just that. In chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. We devoted a message to that verse one time. And what a blessing it is to think about our Lord, the gospel, the truth, going into every little village like Rocky Mount. You know, the Word of God, the Scripture says, has gone everywhere. Have they not all heard? Yea, verily, the sound has gone throughout the world. That's what Paul said. But it doesn't stay everywhere. The church is not raised up in every city. But He does raise up churches where the gospel is preached, where little folds, little flocks of sheep where Christ is and His gospel is preached. And what a blessing. And often, most times, it's in little villages. Little villages that the world scoffs at, mocks. He went into all these villages teaching in their synagogue and preaching. Preaching, verse 35, the gospel of the kingdom. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Preaching and healing every single sickness. Preaching. Go over to Mark chapter 1 with me. The Lord Jesus Christ was a preacher. That in itself should make me unashamed of what I'm doing. The Lord God in heaven had one son and He was a preacher. Look at it. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. It says, He said unto His disciples, said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And the next fellow was a leper that He cleansed. The Lord Jesus Christ was a preacher. And oh, what a preacher. But He said, I came to preach. And though the world calls it foolishness, I mean, the world does think that preaching and preachers are about the most foolish occupation and thing on earth, that only ignorant, uneducated people could sit and listen to that. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was a preacher. Granted, there are many fools doing this, preaching foolishness, but there are some. The Lord has not left Himself without a witness. There are some that aren't fools. They're wise men. And they're not preaching foolishness. They're preaching Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom and the power of God. To those that are saved, they know it. They know this is not foolishness, but this is the very wisdom of God. And back in our, well, here it says in Mark 1, it says He healed every sickness and every disease. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. And He is still in every village and town, and His gospel goes through, and He's still healing every person that needs it. Everyone's sickened with this disease called sin. Isaiah chapter 1. Go over to Isaiah chapter 1. Now this is something that the world doesn't know and doesn't believe. But all of God's people do. The great physician reveals to every one of His people their deep inward problem called sin. And again, the world thinks this is just old-fashioned mountain preaching, sin. And no, this is the Word of God. Isaiah 1, he says in verse 2, Hear, O heavens, give earth, give ear, O earth. The Lord has spoken, I've nourished, brought up children that have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not even consider. Sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, forsaken the Lord, provoked the Holy One of Israel in anger, gone way backward. Verse 5, he says, Why should you be stricken anymore? You'll revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. The soul, from the sole of the foot, that's the walk, even to the head, that's the thoughts. No soundness in it. Nothing but sin. Wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's leprosy of sin. Have not been clothed or bound up, mollified with ointment. Verse 14. And he says, but they're religious. They're religious. But he says, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth, are trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. You spread forth your hands, I'll hide mine eyes from you. Your many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now listen, wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before mine eye. Cease to do evil. How? I don't understand, preacher. How? You just sang it. You just sang it. There's power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. You don't have the ability. Wash you. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And you know what? Sinners that plunge themselves beneath that blood lose all their guilty stain. Good news. There is. Watch you. Learn to do well. Verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But if you be willing and obedient, you notice it's both, don't you? You shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword of his mouth. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. I go back to Matthew 9. But our Lord came to save sinners. And it says He went into these villages and towns, and the first thing He did was preach. And then it follows that He healed every sickness and every disease. In verse 36, it says he was moved with compassion. Matthew 9, verse 36, he was moved with compassion. People were lying around on the ground. They were scattered as sheep, having no shepherd. Well, this is the great shepherd who's come for his sheep. And he had compassion on them. And he told his disciple, pray that the Lord of harvest... He said, the harvest is white. It's plenteous. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of harvest that he'll send forth laborers in the harvest. Send forth with these, with the gospel. The Lord had compassion. So what did he do? How did he show compassion on these people? Look at verse 1. He called 12 disciples. He raised up 12 men and gave them a power to go out and cleanse sinners and raise the dead and heal the blind and the deaf and the lame. The power of the gospel. He called them. Verse 10, he called them. They didn't apply for the job. They were out fishing or building houses or counting their money. They didn't even know him, but he knew them and came and called every one of them. You know, this is the compassion of God. This is the gift of God. The gift of God is when our Lord ascended on high, Paul wrote, he said, he ascended on high and led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Says he gave some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to go out with this gospel. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And this gospel has the power to save, the power to heal, the power to cast out unclean spirits, the power to heal all manner of sickness, according to the Word of God. Look at verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Thomas. That sound familiar? We got some of those in our midst, don't we? Were these extraordinarily amazing, gifted, talented men that the Lord was looking all over the earth for some really gifted fellows that he could, that could do his work for him? No, they were just ordinary Andrew, John. We had three or four. We had four. Now we're down to three. But Andrew, we got a couple. We had a couple of those. And Thomas, got a couple in here. Here's a Thomas. Ordinary nobodies. And this is how you know. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power might be known that it's of God, not of man. God raised these ordinary common fishermen up like Simon. How do you picture Simon? I picture Simon Peter as a big old rough, tough longshoreman, don't you, Stephen? Big, tough, rough fisherman will knock you down if you look across at it. I can just see Peter like this. Rather fight you than talk to you. Probably didn't talk much. Well, no, he probably talked a lot. But, just a rough, gruff fella. Fishing was his life. Nobody could convince him of anything. He knew it all. Well, along came this Jewish man, this rabbi, this teacher, this from Nazareth. And completely took control of that fellow. Brought him down. Broke the enmity in his heart. Changed his mind, his heart, his walk, his talk, his everything. Reduced him to being a child. Said, I'll follow you wherever you go. That's the power of God. And this fellow who, you know, been in boats all his life, talking, if he's talking to anybody, he's talking to fish. And Andrew, he sent him out preaching. He said, go preach. I hadn't been to school. I don't know the first thing about this. I'll be with you. And they went out preaching. And lo and behold, thousands of people sat at their feet and heard their word and were changed just like them. Where did the power come from? The men? No, sir.
Had nothing to do with them.
It was in the gospel they preached. It was in the Lord that sent them. This is how you know. So you know it's Him. Gospel is the power of God. One of the most eloquent men to ever stand in a pulpit was an old coal miner from West Virginia. 8th grade education. Scott Richardson. Profound wisdom. And no man like Stephen could stand before his wisdom and the spirit in which he preached. And God slew many people
through that old coal miner's preaching.
That's the power of God. It's not in the man. It's not in the vessel. Just an Andrew. Just a John. Just a Thomas. That they have a great Lord that gifted them. Go, he said in verse 6. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, who are they, Lord? You don't know them. You don't know them. But I do. I know them all. I foreknew them before the world began. You just go preach. Don't beg. Don't plead. Don't ask. Preach. Declare who I am. Preach the Word. Do it in love. Do it in compassion. But do it with authority. Let no man despise you. Fear not their faces. Just declare the truth of who God is, what man is, who Christ is. Declare the truth. Don't beg anybody. I'm not a beggar. Neither are you. And you stop and you stand back and you watch me bring them. You watch. The Word of God is His power. Oh, the lost sheep. I have lost sheep. And how they're known is by this power. Like old Simon Peter. And they'll hear my voice and they'll follow me. Go preach, he said. Preach what, Lord? Verse 7. Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we see the kingdom of China, don't we? We see the kingdom of North Korea, Russia, the United Kingdom, USA. We see these kingdoms of men, don't we? We see them. And if we haven't seen China, we believe the news that there is a China. We believe the pictures that we see. This is a good illustration, actually. We believe men, what they say, that there is a kingdom called China, and we see the pictures of it. There is an unseen kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of His dear Son. Have you seen it? Say, no, I haven't seen it. There's some pictures of it. And somebody's told us, gave us the good news. You know what? I believe Him. I believe the news. I believe the report. It's been revealed unto me. There is a kingdom. I've seen the pictures. I've seen picture after picture. Haven't you? Of this unseen kingdom. And the world scoffs and mocks. We don't believe that. We don't believe in God. Can't see Him. No, you never will. You never will until He reveals Himself to you. What man knoweth the Spirit of God, or Spirit of a man that's in him, save the Spirit of that man revealing to him? Huh? You don't know what I'm thinking. I have a brother some of you have never met. You may not believe He exists. And you won't until He reveals Himself to you. Until He shows up. Well, so, you know, I say this to you when you're talking to people. Don't argue. Don't try to. We're not trying to convince people that God is and Christ is. No. When He reveals Himself, argument's over. We just declare Him and hope and pray and ask Him to reveal Himself to them like He did us. I thought this was a bunch of foolishness. I don't believe that. But one day, a common ordinary preacher named Henry of all. That's not a noble name. Well, there was a king named that. He was a pagan, wasn't he? The 8th. But God raised up a preacher named Henry and this young rebel sat one day and lo and behold, the power of God. My heart. When I said, I won't believe it. I don't believe any of that. I do believe this with all my heart. Kingdom of God is an unseen, spiritual, eternal kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness and holiness. And God is the King and Christ is the King. And right now He's reigning and ruling among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, you can't do that. He's doing it. I'm reigning. I'm ruling. He that sitteth on the circle of the earth. Well, I can't see Him. He sees you. He that sitteth on the circle of the earth and the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Grasshoppers. Like those worms I told you. Maybe somebody hadn't heard this. I bought some worms and made a little house for them for my garden. And put those worms in that house. And you know, worms are blind. They're creatures of the earth. They eat dead things. They don't like living things. They don't like light. You shine a light, they'll run for darkness. This is man. They don't believe me. I fed them. I bought them. I fed them. I water them. I house them. I protect them. And none of them have ever, not one of them have ever, when I go down there to feed them, ever looked up and said, thank you. Not one. That's what Psalm 14 says, the Lord looked down from heaven on the sons of men and see if there were any that does understand. What? Creator! Any that did seek God. Any that did call on God. Any that did say thank you. They won't do it by nature. They're blind. They're dead. They're dumb. They can't see God. They can't know God. But God. For His great love, wherewith He loved not all, but some of these worms. Now, isn't that amazing? Why He would love any worms at all. And it's only foolish, blind worms that think He ought to love us all. But some worms. And how does He do this? How does He reveal Himself? I've thought of this many times. That, you know, I go down there every now and then just because I can. And I get that big tub, and I just shake the fire out of it. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness of sin. Romans 1. Earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, droughts, famines, diseases, pestilence, and all the wars and rumors of war. Who are they calling on God? No. And I thought, if I could just... They just don't see me. They don't know me. If I could just become a worm. Not a man. No man. But become a worm. And get down there and tell them, listen, you don't know it. There's a God up there. There's one that owns you. There's one that is feeding you. Right now, though you don't know Him. And you know what? I'm Him. Did I oversimplify that? That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Psalm 22 says that very thing. I'm a worm and no man. Jesus Christ, God, was manifested in flesh. He came into the world. The world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. Light shone in darkness, but men love darkness rather than light. They're worms, they're dead and trespassing sin. But God, manifest in the flesh, the Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who sat on the circle of the earth, became in the likeness of sinful flesh, took upon Him the form of a man, became a worm to what? Do what? Reveal God. Listen, He says, you worms, you sinners. Under the wrath and judgment of God, you're not thanking Him, you're not acknowledging Him, you're not conscious of Him. I'm coming to make you conscious of it. There's a kingdom. I'm going to destroy. One of these days, I'm going to be tired of fooling with worms. You know what? I'm going to be tired of it. I don't need them. I'm just going to cast them away one of these days. That's what the Lord's going to do with this earth. But God, to some of them, reveals Himself. Christ the King, the Lord, King of kings, and Lord of lords, became a man and walked among us. And He said, I'm here. And nobody knew Him. Nobody could see Him. But to those who, with whom He revealed Himself. And those He did, they bow the knee. They confess with the tongue. Like Thomas, you're not just a man. You're Christ. You're the Son of God. You're God. You're my Lord and you're my God that made me. And he had to tell him why he's here. I'm here not to show you how to live necessarily, not to make you rich. Oh no, I'm going to destroy this place. I'm here to put you in my kingdom. I'm here to die for you. I'm here because God is angry. And I'm going to take your sin. I'm going to take your judgment. I'm going to take the wrath of God for you. I'm going to be made a sacrifice for your sin. I'm going to be made an offering to God for you. God is pleased with me, my righteousness. Not with anybody else, but my righteousness. And I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to make a worm into a butterfly while He kills me on your behalf. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to become a curse for you. You're going to return to the earth. But if I do this for you, you'll return, you'll go to God. You'll fly into the face of God. And Christ came, went to the cross, shed His precious blood, the Lamb of God. God's satisfied. The justice of God is satisfied. Sin is remitted. Christ died, was buried, rose again, seated at the right hand of God. Sends His Holy Spirit with the gospel through preachers. They preach this gospel. They call sinners. And the power of God moves on them, opens blind eyes, deaf ears, loosens tongues, lame feet walk, the dead rise, they come to Christ, they know God now, they know there's a kingdom, and they're in it. And it's a mystery, and I tried to explain it, but I can't. Verse 8, he says, go out there, preach the kingdom of heaven. There's an unseen kingdom. Christ has come, the King, to make up His subjects. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely give. Now people, these men actually, the Lord actually gave them power to heal the sick. Cleanse lepers. Actual literal lepers were cleansed. And some of them actually raised the dead. Simon Peter, Paul, did. Cast out devils. That's a fact. But, and there's, that power doesn't exist in men today. The reason God gave these 12 men that power back then is because the Word of God wasn't complete. The Word of God was not finished. And this verified, confirmed who they, that God sent them. These miracles that no man could do but them verified that God sent these men. No man can do this except God be with them. All right? But now that the Word of God is complete, you don't need those signs and wonders and miracles. We have the Word of God. And the Word of God is His power now. This is what He used. It was then too. But what I'm saying is, I have the same. The Lord has given me the same power, not to heal the physically sick, not to cleanse physical lepers, not to raise the actual literal dead, but spiritually speaking. The gospel is the power of God to heal sick minds. It's not me, it's the gospel. It's this truth. And how you know it's of God is it's not explaining it. It's not. It's just declaring it. It's just administering it. Standing up and declaring who God is and who Christ is. And the Holy Spirit of God takes this gospel, the power of God, the Word of God, and operates on the minds and the hearts of His people. Like I said, those who before didn't give God any thought, all of a sudden, they hear this. Oh. Those whose affection, whose heart set on things of this earth, He smites their heart. Oh, I want to be in that kingdom. Oh, I need Christ. power of God to cleanse filthy lepers. Actually, the gospel actually changes people's lives. He didn't have life. He has to give them life first. But it actually changes their behavior. Not saved because of a change of behavior, but there will be a change of behavior. Lepers were clean. He said, I will save them. Quicken the dead. People that wouldn't hear, never could and would hear a gospel message preached. All of a sudden, boy, it's the best thing they ever heard. Can't get enough of it. That's what God does. Takes a young man who couldn't wait to get out of church, like me, couldn't wait to get out from under that, and makes him a preacher. That's God. It's the power of God. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I preach unto you the gospel which I also receive. I heard the gospel and I rejected, he said, but then one day Christ came to me on my road to Damascus and said, Saul, Saul, can't kick anymore, can he? Preach, freely receive. Verses 9 and 10, he said to these preachers, go out, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. But Lord, how are we going to live? How you been living thus far? You think you've been providing for yourself, Simon Peter? You think you're a good fisherman? All these years you've provided that fish. They found that out, didn't they? That's how the Lord first revealed himself to Simon Peter and these fellows. Went out in his boat and said, cast your net on the right side. I said, oh, preacher, we've been fishing all our lives. We know these waters like the back of our hand. Well, what have you caught? Well, nothing. Well, just do what I say. And they cast that net, and they couldn't contain the fish. And Simon Peter hit his knees and said, you're the God over fish. And you're my God, and I didn't know you. And now I bow to you, and I confess you, and I believe you. Don't provide gold or silver or brass. I've provided for you all these years. I'll provide for you to the end of your days. Not stripped for your journey, money, neither two coats, neither two shoes, or neither shoes, nor yet staves. The workman is worthy of his meat. If I sent you, you will be provided. You don't have to beg for an audience, and you will not beg for money. They will support you. And they will love you and they will think you're a gift from God because He is. And those men never thought anything of themselves. Ever. Ever. Not one time they started getting like that. Didn't they stand? They started thinking, hey, we are pretty special. The Lord got angry with them. He said, you're nothing. I found you. Nobody. Don't ever rise above that. Read on. It says, verse 11, and I close with these verses. Whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. Whoever's worthy, stay there. I've sent you to that house. And he said, whatever city or town, and you go into it and salute it. Verse 13, if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. What's their peace? They can't give peace. What's their peace? It's the gospel of peace. It's Christ and His gospel of peace. Read on. And he said, let your peace come upon it. If it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. Don't fret. Don't worry. Well, I need to hear this. The lack of response
it's all right. Shake the dust off. I have some people. They're hearing me. They're hearing me through you.
And he said it'd be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, for that town that rejected you. And he said this to them. He said, if the house be worthy. You find out. You go to a city and you find some worthy people. And you tell them the good news. And if the house be worthy, peace is going to be on that house. Now,
what does that mean? It means find some good people. That means you find some really noble people, some good people, some fine, moral, upstanding people. And they don't need the gospel.
Christ said, I didn't come for the righteous. I didn't come for Pharisees and scribes, not many. They don't need my righteousness. They're not sinners as other men. They don't need a physician. They're okay. I didn't come to call them. Came to call sinner. Well, preacher, what does it mean by being worthy? To be worthy of this great salvation. Talking about mercy. Talking about grace. Talking about the blood of God's Son shed for the remission of sin. To be worthy, here's what you have to be. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, a leper, a worm. Unworthy. To be worthy, you got to be unworthy. You got to know, I don't deserve this. You find somebody like that, he said to these preachers. You find somebody like that and tell them, you're just the one I came for. And you stay there. Stay there. As long as there's somebody like that, you stay there. Let me close with this illustration. It's a good one. We had a family doctor named P.J. Wynn, Philip Wynn. Do you remember him, Tammy? Dr. Wynn, old-fashioned doctor who made house calls. Had a little black bag. Came to see me from a chat. Delivered all of us except Robbie. And delivered all of us. Little black bag. And he'd come to the house. And anyway, he was a wise old fella. And he'd seen every disease coming and going, you know. And one time he was in his office, and he peeped out into the waiting room, and there were people gathered there for hangnails and headaches and, you know, a little bit of arthritis and all this and that and the other. And he'd been seeing people and hearing people with all these little tiny ailments, you know. And you remember, he finally had it, fit up. He went out into that waiting room and he said, is there anybody out here really sick? Is there anybody out here who really needs help? If so, come in right now. In other words, if not, get out of here. Our Lord said, ho, everyone that thirsteth. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come to call sinners, not the righteous, not moral people, not good people, not religious people. People that need forgiveness of sin. People that need a God, not a co-pilot. Worms that need mercy, not just a fire escape from hell. Anybody? Power to save. Okay. Brother John, you come up.